RadioArchives.com presents G8 and His Battle Aces magazine from December 1937. Drome of the Damned, the 51st adventure of G8 and His Battle Aces, as told by G8 to Robert J. Hogan, read by Nick Santamaria. Out of war-torn skies of World War I flies G8 and His Battle Aces. The greatest combat pilot of that hellish conflict, G8's true name was stricken from all official records so that he could fight the most evil minions of the German Kaiser without the restrictions of the laws of war. Piloting a souped-up SPAD airplane and backed by his wingmen, Bull Martin and Nippy Weston, G8 blazed his name across weird battle skies history never recorded. Mad scientists, zombies, werewolves, vampires. These were the unholy allies of Imperial Germany, whom G8 engaged over the blood-soaked trenches of the war to end all wars, in frenzied dogfights straight out of hell. And now, G8 and His Battle Aces' thrilling adventure, Drome of the Damned.
Chapter 1. Condemned to Death. It was midnight, and the dungeon beneath Stahlmask's castle was as dark as pitch. A young man, dressed in the uniform of a German lieutenant of the 6th Uhlanen, sat upon a heap of human bones. One would never have taken him for a condemned man, for in the darkness he smiled. This was G8, the young master American flying spy. All Germany and Austria uttered his letter and number in a hushed voice and cursed him under their breath. Sitting there, he took from a secret pocket of his coat a small flat metal box that had been given to him many months before by a German scientist whom he had helped. It was a combined sending and receiving wireless set. He snapped up the lid, which acted as a tiny aerial. There was a small key inside the box, and a folded cord long enough to extend from the box to its ears. At the end of the cord was a uniquely constructed earphone that fitted not over his ear, but into the ear opening. He chuckled softly to himself now as he began working the key. "So," he said, "Stahlmask thinks he's going to finish me off. He doesn't know that I have permitted myself to be captured in order to find out what he's up to." He continued to tap out the call letters that would attract Nippy Weston and Bull Martin, his two assistants, to their powerful radio set in the end hangar at Le Bourget Field, France. When he had repeated the call letters several times, he turned the switch to receiving and waited. But no sound of a reply came through that tiny earphone. He tried sending the call letters again, and once more he listened for the reply. The smile left his face momentarily. "They're either not there," he said, "or the receiving part of the set isn't working. Anyway, I still have a weak spark for sending." He settled himself in a more comfortable position on the pile of bones and began tapping out the message to his battle aces. "Held prisoner in Stahlmask's dungeon. Condemned to die at dawn. Come if you can. Enter castle through old dry well at north side, overgrown by shrubs. Passage to dungeon corridor from well. Try to reply." He switched the set over to receiving and listened again for an answer, but none came. The master spy shrugged. "Well," he said half aloud, "three times and out. Something's wrong. If they haven't gotten my message by now, I'll have to figure out some other way to duck Stahlmask's brutes." For a long time, the master spy sat there on that pile of bones. Now and then he glanced at his wristwatch, which seemed to be ticking faster and faster as it neared the hour of his doom. 2, 3, 4 hours passed. The master spy was up pacing the floor, a little restlessly now, but still in perfect control of himself. To him, the incessant ticking of his watch seemed like the rapid staccato of a machine gun. Time was flying by like mad, and as yet there was no indication that he would receive help. Suddenly, he realized that he could see things inside that dungeon, could make things out, rings around the walls where human wrists had been held, hundreds of years before. Bones still littered the floor here and there, but most of them had been gathered up and thrown in a heap in the center of the dungeon cell. Yes, dawn was coming.